Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland. The quiz question is in. It's another very short one, and it actually, I'll give you a hint, is based on some wrong answers from one of our other previous quiz questions. The committee could not resist going back to that same material. And we have, speaking of material and great material, you heard probably a couple of weeks ago, John Harbison on the Midday, talking, as he does roughly once a year, about the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, and he mentioned on that occasion the participation this year of composer Andrew Wagner and also of Caroline Stinson, who is one of the performers in this coming chamber music extravaganza. And I believe you're performing tomorrow, right? Is that right? Or this weekend?
Sunday.
Okay. Well, welcome, Andy.
And
Carrie.
That's good. Thank you.
Great to have you here. Husband and wife team here.
Indeed,
yeah.
And so as a composer and as a singer, how do you work that out?
Well, we make sure that she never sings.
Yes, that's very important. Not even in the shower. No, I'm...
No, composer, cellist.
Cellist, yeah. Singing cello is what I meant to say.
Yes.
I write a lot of cello music, and whether it's for her or not, she tells me whether or not it's actually feasible. So
now that opens another interesting can of worms, doesn't it? Writing for one's other half.
Yeah, it's. I think it works pretty well for us. We kind of started that way. That one of the first things that I did to try to show my plumage around her was to give her a little piece. And actually, that little piece became the first movement of a four-movement set that she's going to play on Sunday here in Token Creek. So that piece has had a long life for us.
That's the way that some of those things work, isn't it? You have one short thing that somehow just carries through for years like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this one was really kind of a gift. It was a gift to her, but it was also a gift to me from the composition gods or from my unconscious. Or from,
the muses?
Yes, because it came very quickly and it was written in a really specific kind of emotional state. And I still really love this piece, which quite often when a piece is written quickly like that, that's 10 years later, 12 years later, that's not the case.
Yeah, why was I doing that?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has the two very brief themes in the first movement spell out our names. It's very sweet, but early on I was embarrassed isn't quite the right word, but I felt very
self-conscious.
Exposed. Yes, mm-hmm. About that. So when Andy would send it to other cellists, I'd say, no, you have to take that page off where it shows the key. Uh-huh. Yeah, but now
well,
it's in there.
So. You know, I mean, Robert Schumann did that for Clara with the Abegg variations.
Exactly. Wonderful and, history of that.
You know, it's a long, long tradition.
I thought I was on terra firma with it.
Uh-huh. So. It's a kind of a tricky thing to do in some ways, I think, because you run the risk of being kind of arbitrary and, this is a really clever idea, but the music doesn't necessarily fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But in this case, you got it both.
Yeah.
Got it both.
Yeah, I like the way our names work musically, actually. There's something in the way that they...
You're not getting misty-eyed here.
I'm not going to bring out crystals or anything and start talking about resonances. But, I mean, they do... Musically, they work together in a nice kind of antecedent, consequent way.
Okay, now explain what you mean when you say your names. Are you talking about initials? Are you talking about whole names? Or how do you actually do that musicologically?
The letters of the name, what
so
used
mine,
to be called a
mine,
soggetto cavato.
Yeah, so mine starts... That's the beginning of my name.
So it's... C A R for D, Ray.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you always have to kind of spin it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. E, Carrie, but that's I, so that's T, so that's B, the pitch B, and then back to E. And then Stinson, her last name, I just did the initial for that, which goes to E flat, which is S.
Right, of course, yeah, because it's like sort of
German
notation here. Yeah, I mean, I once knew somebody who did it with WUFT. because he fell back on some kind of medieval musical mode or something.
Oot.
Yeah,
and
who else would possibly know except the composer, unless you had it in a liner
note
somewhere.
You'd have to go back to Ut quant loxies to make that work.
Absence, that's part of your livre two, or number two, Roman numeral two. And is there a biographical significance to that?
There is indeed. The first movement, it's this same piece, was written when we were first hanging out together, and then we went through a stretch soon after that where we were apart for about 6 weeks.
And the heart grew fonder?
The heart grew fonder, and at that stage in a relationship, 6 weeks, you know, feels like 6 years.
Yes.
So that was L'Absence. And then after that is a movement called L'Abîme, or The Abyss, which when things got really bad. And then the last movement is...
Has he told you all this before?
Yeah.
The last movement is a kind of reunion movement, and it's called Mystère de l'Autre, which means Mystery Other. The title for that comes from a poem by René Char, which I like very much. And it's all in French because we both... Carrie grew up doing all her schooling in French in Canada, and I speak French, and we live in France every couple of years. So there's a... There was a personal connection with that, too.
Well, so let's hear that and tell us about the performance.
This is Carrie with Molly Morkowski, who's the wonderful colleague and friend. She's the pianist in our group, Open End. And Open End is in residence. Three of us are in residence this week at Token Creek. So Molly and Carrie will perform this same piece on Sunday.
Okay, and by the way, Token Creek, in case you don't know, it's Token Creek, Wisconsin. It's out near Sun Prairie, not too far from Madison or Sun Prairie, either one. And all performances take place in a very attractive barn.
The most beautiful barn, I think, probably in existence.
A great performance space, too. Here it is, L'Absence from Livre 2 by Andrew Wagoner. And there you have L'Absence from Livre 2 by my guest today, Andrew Wagoner, who is here also with his wife and cellist, and that's Carolyn Stinson, a.k.a. Carrie. They're performing at Token Creek Chamber Music Festival, Token Creek, Wisconsin, on Sunday. And by the way, before I forget, there will be some other interesting things going on during the festival, which typically goes on for several days. And on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, out at the same, very same barn at 8 o'clock, Shakespeare, the Bard in Songs and Scenes, with Ali Schaefer providing the words. And Carrie, you're going to be providing some of the music for that, right?
Yes.
And how does that work? Is it a kind of an improv thing, or is it written down?
We are doing some improvisation on that program, yes. And then there's also a piece by John that begins with a big cello solo, and then for cello solo and string quartet.
So this is a pretty meaty several days coming up for you.
Yes, it's been wonderful. Yeah.
Well, and then there are songs based on Shakespeare by Schubert, Brahms, Strauss, Tippett, Harbison. So it's the Harbison opening songs interspersed with scenes and improvs.
So Shakespeare is the muse.
It's a Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of material there, isn't there?
It's a Shakespeare hootenanny.
Has that quality sometimes out there. You have also a couple of string quartets, at least three of them, in fact, to your credit. Now, would this be something you also write with Carey in mind, or what was the impetus for those?
I've actually never written a string quartet for a group of Careys. Is that right?
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Solo cello, cello and piano.
Yeah.
She's cellist trios
in the Lark Quartet, and I have not
right,
yet.
Right.
I've not yet.
You've recorded with the Lark Quartet.
So, no, these quartets were all written for different groups. And this one was written for the Carigliano Quartet.
It was named after, I assume, the composer,
is indeed,
John.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is, so how many have you written, did you say, quartets?
There are four full-length quartets and then a bunch of smaller pieces with different evocative titles.
Well, titles are good. You know, I think titles have been, for the last several hundred years, a neglected aspect of classical music.
It's true.
Titles tend to be still paper bag kind of titles, you know, quartet, symphony, sonata. Give us some panache in a title.
We've tried to make up for that in the last, I think, the last 40 years in particular.
There has been a lot of that, hasn't there? But some great titles, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes better than the pieces.
Yes, that goes without saying. But not in this case, of course. So is there a provocative or evocative title for String Quartet No. 3 by Andrew Wagoner?
Unfortunately, there's not. This one...
There's some possibility. You could sell the title, you know.
That's true. That's true. I would actually donate the proceeds to Wisconsin Public Radio if somebody wanted to title this movement. No, this piece has... There's a lot going on in it personally, and it was written also at a time of really quite extreme... emotional extremes, one could say, both privately and in terms of the culture as a whole. And I think for that reason, I decided to keep the title to myself and just let it be Third String Quartet. But the two movements are kind of negative images of each other. The first movement I described as being a very public display of very private joy. And the second movement was a very private expression of public grief.
Okay, and we're hearing what in this context?
We're hearing joy.
Joy. Bring on the joy. String Quartet No. 3.
Thank you.
from the string quartet number 3. Let's see, that was the first movement?
First movement.
Movement by Andrew Wagoner, who is with me today, as is his wife. I keep always saying, I mean, it's true.
It is true.
It's undeniable, but
it is one of my many titles.
Just to that role. You're a cellist, Caroline Stinson, who is the wife of composer Andrew Wagoner, as he is the husband of the great cellist.
Thank you.
Et cetera. You have to be so careful how you say
keep
things.
Keep going.
Yeah, right. That was joy. That was a joyful first movement for your string quartet. We're going to look at an improvisation and find out what that's about right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Escape to a simpler time when all you needed were the basics and a boat. WPR's Chapter a Day presents Return to Wake Robin, Marnie Mamingo's memoir of life in the North Woods. Get the unabridged audiobook in the radio store. Call 1-800-747-7444 or visit WPR.org/store for more information.
Support for WPR comes from Sheboygan Tourism, specializing in entertainment for all at Spaceport Sheboygan, the John Michael Kohler Arts Center, Above and Beyond Children's Museum, Bookworm Gardens, and much more. Information at visitsheboygan.com.
Support also comes from the Madison Symphony Orchestra, celebrating music director John Demain's 20th anniversary. Single tickets and concert information available at madisonsymphony.org or 608-257-3734.
Back with cellist Caroline Stinson and her husband, Andrew Wagoner. Do you like that? You got top billing that time.
Oh.
And we're about 6 or 8 minutes away from today's 12:30 quiz question. But when you see something called improvisation as a title, is that for real? I mean, how does it? Because if it's truly improvised, what are you offering as a composer, Andy?
In this case, nothing. I'm offering myself as an improvising violinist. Mm-hmm. With my partners in Open End, Carrie on cello, and violinist Michael Lim and violist Malia Watrous.
Who, incidentally, are also in the Corleano Quartet recording we just heard.
Yeah. Big happy family.
Tight group there.
Yeah.
So we take the stage, or in this case, it was the stage at Arts and Letters in New York.
We didn't do any editing for these. We just spent probably a solid hour and 15 minutes just doing one improvisation after another.
Yeah.
How do you decide which one to do when showtime comes?
In performance, it's much easier because there's an audience, there's an imperative, there's the energy from the audience,
right.
And we do it, and it's great fun, and usually it's good. I mean, sometimes it's better than others, but
true of any performance.
When we're staring at a microphone, that's a little bit more difficult. So that's why we recorded an hour's worth, just so that we would get a couple that we really liked. And this one we liked a lot. And yeah, as Carrie mentioned, there's no net, there's no editing. It's just what we did. And what we do is we start and we listen to each other and we become a four-headed composer and we create a piece.
On the spur of the moment.
Yeah, there are things, though, I think that as a composer that Andy probably contributes just differently in terms of how he's listening, how he's thinking about harmony, how he's thinking about structure. It's not that as a performer you don't think about those things. Certainly you do. But I think Andy is more virtuosic in terms of what note he can add somewhere to really make a certain kind of harmony clear. Whereas I mostly think about resonance and I find things more as I go. I think Andy probably tends to be a little more deliberate about certain things. So
controlling.
It is different. Yes,
controlling.
It is different, but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And so how many of you in this improvisation?
4. It's a string quartet.
Thank you.
improvisation involving two of my guests during the midday today, composer Andrew Wagoner and cellist Caroline Stinson. You haven't heard that for a while, you said. Kind of a fresh experience then.
Yeah, it's been at least a couple of years. Yeah, and every time I think I'm always surprised by what comes or
what came.
Yeah, because you don't know it in the same way as you know a written out piece. So
it's the other you.
Yeah.
Well put. Actually, it's very much the case.
And you can experience music of both Andrew and Caroline this Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, at the Token Creek Chamber Music Festival. That's Sunday, the 25th of August. You can get tickets there. Before we get to the quiz question, we have one more short piece, and it's a solo cello work. I mean, that's a tradition that goes way back to, of course, back to Bach and probably farther. In this case, the composer is our own John Harbison, and you are the one and only performer in this, Caroline.
I am. It's solo cello. And this suite comes very much out of that Bach tradition. There are four movements in this suite, but this is the last. It's a gig. He calls it a giga. And it's a fast, spirited movement. I like to, this summer in different contexts, performed different movements of his suite alongside the parallel movements in different Bach suites. So,
giga. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty demanding, too.
That's a great piece.
A
both cello and cellist. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Andrew Wagoner and Caroline Stinson. And have a great time out at Token Creek.
Oh, we will.
We are already.
Something to look forward to.